John Mangan first took to the airwaves as a kid, operating a ham radio. Here's his son, Kevin Mangan.
I think maybe that's when he started thinking of it in terms of like being a friend to your audience and also kind of saying what you need to say and moving on, because there's a lot of people on there who like to talk. He really liked that you could connect with somebody from just around the world and suddenly feel like they were in the room with you.
He took a break from the ham to get a career off the ground. After switching from studying engineering to communications at Cornell, he graduated and joined the Navy. John eventually rose to the rank of commander, but always found a way to get back on the air.
Throughout his career, he was piloting ships and things, but whenever he could, he was jumping on communications. He was very proud of how good he was with Morse code.
John was ready to put his feet back on dry land by the early 80s, and a position had opened up at Clover Park Technical College in Lakewood. They needed somebody to helm the radio program, and he was just the man for the job. He fixed issues with the FCC license and converted the roommate rock station into a real system to prepare students for a career.
Every new class, about half of them just wanted to get on air and talk. They thought that the important part of being a DJ was their voice. And my dad always kind of said that sort of sees it backwards, that the important voice is the one that you're not hearing. It's the audience's voice. They're tuning in for a brief moment in time, maybe, and they're tuning in for a reason. And it's probably not just to hear you talk about yourself. they're tuning in for entertainment or distraction, to think about something other than whatever's right in front of them at that moment. They might be tuning in because they need a friend.
And for 30 years, John was that friend, along with the students who came through his class. Even when he wasn't in the studio, radio was on his mind. Road trips in a little British sports car became a formative experience for Kevin.
He knew that he was at the office a lot. So to make up for that, as a teacher, he would get summers off, but we would drive across the country in the TR-7, top down whenever we could. He would put this like 12-foot crazy radio antenna magneted on the back of the thing. You know, we'd be listening to a DJ from LA in the middle of the night in Montana, and he would say, just listen to how it seems like they're right here with you. And that's kind of how I have to think of him now.
Eventually, plans changed at Clover Park, and they initiated a local management agreement with this station, NWPB. But it was a sudden change that John wasn't fully prepared for.
A president came in who did not think that radio broadcasting had a strong future for Clover Park. He had this audience that he built up over 30 years. He felt like he had this connection to the community, because it really was just overnight decision. And he felt like a lot of people just suddenly one day lost their friend. You know, he wasn't necessarily worried about being remembered in the long term. It was more about that immediate connection. He liked that the radio waves are going to go out into space. They're going to get fainter as they go out, but they're going to keep going. They're going to go past the moon. But just like on Earth, the moon's only going to hear the show once. So I just wanted to try and get somewhere on record that he appreciated their side of the friendship the way that he did.
So if you were one of John Mangan's 50,000 loyal listeners, know that he was just as loyal to you as you hoped he would be. You've just heard from Kevin Mangan talking about his dad's impact and legacy in South Sound Radio. And for NWPB, I'm Connor Henriksen.